For every sermon that happens, there's a page, okay? And on that page, I can put documents. And so for the page for this sermon, for this worship service, I'm going to put a couple of interesting documents. One of them is a history that was done by some friends at Capitol Hill Baptist Church down in D.C. about how churches around D.C. responded to the Spanish flu epidemic in 1918 when basically they were ordered to not meet, okay? And for several weeks, the churches did not meet at all because you may not know about the Spanish flu in 2018, but with that flu, I think they said 6,000 people in D.C. died and millions of people around the world died with that flu. That was like a horrible thing. So it's interesting to read how churches responded when they were told they could not meet. So we're not there yet, but be prepared for the fact that that order may come. And if it comes, then we will obey and we'll find a way around it, which is, you know, one thing that we'll talk to you about. If we do have to cancel services at some point in the future, then we'll, of course, let everyone know. And we can still worship together from home, kind of. And if you wonder, well, how would that happen? What would that look like? Well, that will be a large chunk of what the sermon's going to be today, because today is not going to be the sermon I had planned. It's going to be the sermon God had planned. And we'll be looking at what are the basics of worship for a Christian, according to the Bible. Okay? Not what do you like or what do I prefer, but rather what does God say? What is a worship service supposed to be? What's it supposed to include? And so we'll look at that together. Okay? So these are strange days in America and the world. But that's okay. We're going to keep on serving the Lord anyway. You'll see that when we go downstairs, we'll be doing things slightly differently. People will be serving with gloves, and you won't be serving yourself the way we usually do, just to cut down on the transfer of germs. Do you understand how the COVID virus gets passed on? Someone coughs, someone sneezes, someone speaks, someone sings, someone breathes, and each time you do, especially for coughs and sneezes, droplets come out of your mouth. Some of them you are big enough to see. Many of them are so small you don't see them. They fall down, and in those little droplets are viruses. And so those viruses land on a surface like this, and they stay there, and they live there for hours or days, okay, until it gets cleaned off, all right? And then when you touch it with your hand, and then you touch your face with your hand, you just move the viruses from this surface to your face where it can get into your lungs. So that's why we're being really careful. Because you guys are the target audience, okay? You're the people who are most likely to be seriously hurt by this if we're not careful. Does that make sense? So what we want to do is we want to be full of faith and trust in God, first, last, and always, okay? But we also want to be wise in the ways that He says that we should be wise, loving to each other and to other people as well. And we're going to go forward, okay? So, let's do this. Let's sing some songs. Can we do that? Let's sing to the Lord. So I made you get away from each other so that when you sing, you can sing loud, and if droplets come out of your mouth, they're just going to drop on the pew in front of you. So you're good. So, we got some videos that we're going to use to sing with, and we're going to begin by singing, "Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery." I love this song. Let me ask you to stand, please, so we can worship the Lord. Here we go.
Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. He the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail humanity. In our longing, in our darkness, now the light of life has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the wondrous mystery, He the perfect Son of Man, and in His living and His suffering, never trace nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ the greatest, full fulfillment of the law, in Him we stand. Come behold the wondrous mystery, Christ the Lord upon the tree. In the stead of ruined sinners, hangs the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption, see the Father's plan unfold, bringing many sons to glory, Christ unmeasured love on the land. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death, the God of life. From the grave covered, there is strength in Him. Praise the Lord, He is alive.
Lose all their guilt. I'm announcement. Amen. Amen. Know that tonight I will not be here, so we will not be having a worship service because I believe I'll be somewhere on the road between here and New York. We still going to try and do this? Yeah? Okay. All right. So just there won't be any service tonight because I'm... In all the weirdness that's going on, things keep getting canceled or restricted or whatever, and I've got a daughter in Buffalo, and we keep hearing about how they're going to prohibit all interstate travel except what is absolutely necessary. And so I'm just going to go get her, you know? I kind of am feeling like it's now or never. So, or at least it's not... It's now or not for the next few weeks. So I'm going to go get her. So I won't be here this evening. So there is no service Bible study tonight. We'll just pick up where we were next week. Lord willing. Again, all plans are subject to change. Kind of strange these days. Also, the ladies' meeting that normally would be meeting is not going to be. The ladies' multi-focus group that meets this Tuesday is not meeting this Tuesday. This month we're going to skip it. All right. So is food for thought still going to try and do some stuff to right after the service? No, we're going to eat right after the service. So what does this say? Food for thought today after the worship service. There's got to be something wrong. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. The ministry offering that's happening. Fair enough. All right. Thank you. The focus deacon for this month of March is Andy Andrews. And, if you need to get hold of him, do that. Yes, sir. Right. Yeah. 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 So, yeah, Carol was telling me about that this morning, and I was coming to that. This Wednesday night, our normal stuff that we need for our business meeting is not going to be ready because it just hasn't happened. So we'll just have a prayer meeting. Those of you who want to come, come on. And we probably will find a different place to meet other than the conference room, because the conference room is kind of small, but we have much larger spaces in this building to use, like this one. So, like I said, we will do what our government tells us to do. We'll be faithful Christians, submissive to the authorities that God has put over us. But as much as we're able to, we're going to continue to do what we're doing. Somebody asked one Baptist pastor down in Texas if they're going to go ahead and have church this Sunday, and he said something that was classic. It was a total Baptist pastor thing to say. He said, maybe they did cancel stuff in the NBA, but what happens here on Sunday is far more important than anything that happens in the NBA. He's right! He's right. So as much as we're able to, we will continue. All right? So for right now, though, the business meeting is not happening. The multi-focus meeting is not happening. Prayer meeting is happening. All right? And we'll go from there, and we'll see how God leads. And I think that's as much as I'm going to announce right now. So let's go on and sing some more. Here's a beautiful song that I hope that you have come to love this song as much as I have. And I hope that especially right now when it seems like so many people are so completely in the grip of fear, that this song will be a ministry to you to be able to sing it. Okay? Christ, the sure and steady anchor.
You can remain seated as you sing, but the words will be up here on the screen in front of you, and let's just sing to the Lord.
Christ be shored by steady anchor in the glory of the storm. When the winds of doubt will through me and my sight have all been told. In the suffering, in the sorrow, when my Savior holds up here, I will hold fast to the anchor. It shall never be. Thank you.
rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to my glorious rest above. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Spread his praise from shore to shore. How he loveth, ever loveth, changeth never, nevermore. How he watches o'er his loved ones. Died to call them all his own. How for them he intercedeth, watcheth o'er them from the throne. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Love of every love, the best. 'Tis an ocean vast of blessing. 'Tis a haven sweet of rest. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. 'Tis a heaven of heavens to me, and it lifts me up to glory, for it lifts me up to thee. Amen. Well, this is what I want to do today, if I can, is just go back to the basics of why we do what we do as Christians. Why do you come to church on Sunday? Because I've been doing it all my life. Well, I hope so. I hope your parents loved you enough and had enough sense to raise you in church so that it is just a habit of your life. I hope that's true. But if that's all they did and somehow they never communicated to you, or you never got it, or you got it but then forgot it, or whatever, for most of us, when we get something, we still do forget it from time to time. And in times like this are a good time to remember why we would go ahead and get together when people all around us are not. Why we would think it's important to gather. In fact, you may have heard people say, I just don't think it's important to get together with Christians or believers or anybody. I stay home with me and my computer or my television. I got Joel Osteen, I got Joyce Meyer. I hope you don't listen to those people too much, but maybe you listen to someone good like David Jeremiah or whatever. Okay, but I'm not against TV preachers or internet preachers. I think they can be very, very helpful. Some can. But what I'm saying is, where do we get the idea that we have to actually get together with living human beings? Gather. Well, that's exactly right. We get it from the Bible. If you were to look across the street at the sign for our friends, you would see the first word on the sign is the word Iglesia. The name of their congregation is Iglesia Dios de Pactos, Church of the God of the Covenant. Except Iglesia is just the modern Spanish version of the ancient Greek word ekklesia. And what that word means, guess what it means? Gathering, or assembly, or congregation. Gathering, assembly, and congregation are three words that all mean the same thing. It's a bunch of people who are scattered, who all come together, gathered at the same time. That's what it means. It is the fundamental word to describe the spiritual family that Jesus expects his followers to be part of. Now, it could be referring to the worldwide and history-long family of all of God's people, all of the saints of all the ages, the way the Baptist Faith and Message puts it. It could be referring to that, but almost all the time in the New Testament, when you see the word show up, ecclesia, or church, church is our usual English word for translating that Greek word. I wish it weren't, because so many people, they hear the word church and they think this building or a building like it, and that's just not what the word means according to God. Now you can adjust yourself to the definitions of the world if you want to, and according to the definitions of the world, this building is the church. But according to God, you are the church. Ecclesia, the gathering. So let's think about that, okay? By the great providence of God in His Word, God has given us one verse that summarizes everything that a Christian church is supposed to do when they gather. And that verse is in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 42, which is where I'd like you to go right now in your copy of God's Word. Acts, chapter 2, and verse 42. In Acts chapter 2, all of Jesus has gone back to heaven, and the Christians have been gathering together to pray together in a room where He told them to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit to come from on high, and the Holy Spirit does come from heaven and does miraculous, astonishing, amazing things in their midst. And you can read about it all throughout Acts chapter 2. These incredible things that the Spirit of God did. But one of the key things that the Spirit of God did was He took this group of 120 people in a room and melded them into a body, a church family, a church. A lot of times, Christians refer to Pentecost, that first day of Pentecost celebration that you read about in the book of Acts, and they say it's the birthday of the church. I don't know if that's exactly, precisely accurate, but I understand what they're saying. They're saying something happened on that day that sort of set the tone and the direction for all the rest of Christianity throughout the rest of history. And this one verse in verse 42, sort of at the end of everything that happened, after that day has finished and you're just dealing with the consequences, the outflow of what happened after that day, then this is what it says that they did on a regular basis. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Father, help us right now to hear Your Word, to learn from it, to get it. Help us to understand why we're even here and what we're supposed to be doing while we're here. I pray that in Jesus' strong name. Amen. All right. So five simple words. Really, four simple words. The first one is just sort of setting the stage for things. It's the word devotion. Is that first word? Yes, sir. On Sunday instead of Saturday, you mean? The reason why we gather on Sunday is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ was on the first day of the week, and so that's when His people gather. At least that's the way it's described in the New Testament. That because of Jesus' resurrection on the first day of the week, this is, maybe you have heard that Christians celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on Easter. Well, they do. We do. And that's fine. But God's plan for when you should celebrate the resurrection of Jesus is not a yearly celebration. It's a weekly celebration. It's called church. It's the gathering of the people of Christ to celebrate the gospel of Jesus Christ on the day He rose from the dead. So, there's no evidence that the Christians, the earliest Christians, ever took one day out of the year to celebrate the resurrection. I'm not saying it's bad that we do that. I'm just saying that the earliest Christians didn't. Because the earliest Christians knew what God had said. God had said, you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ every Sunday. You gather to celebrate that. So did that answer your question? Why? Why do we gather? Well, that's an even bigger question. I mean, so not just why Sunday, but why gather? It's a really good question. If you go back to before time began, it says that the angels of God would gather together to present themselves to the Lord from time to time. You read about that in the book of Job in chapters 1, 2, and 38. And then throughout the Old Testament, God would tell the people of Israel to gather together to Jerusalem to present themselves to the Lord. So, why do God's people gather together? They gather together to present themselves to the Lord. We show up. A number of you guys were in military services. You know how it is. When the muster happens, you better be in your place. All present and accounted for, right? And that's right. So God's army musters on a regular basis. And what this is on Sunday morning is the mustering of God's army. At least our little battalion of God's army. Our little company. This is like, what, a company size? Squad? More like a squad right now. Okay, yeah. So, whatever. But we are mustering to present ourselves to God our Father. That's why we gather. And you know what? A lot of people don't even realize that. They think, oh, it's just a kind of a habit that everybody says, it's tradition. It's I don't know why we do it. It's or there are some people who say, it's an obligation. Jesus commands us to do it, so we must do it. Well, you know, I think that's true. Jesus does expect us to do it, and he does care if we don't gather. If we forsake the assembling of ourselves together, then that's a direct disobedience to a clear command in the book of Hebrews, right? Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, okay? But this is what these early Christians are doing. They are gathering together to devote themselves once again to God. They're devoting themselves to Him. They're letting it be known publicly that they belong to God, and they are reaffirming their devotion, re-experiencing their commitment to the Lord. That's why we gather Sunday by Sunday. And it's been that way since the beginning of time. It's been that way since before they even were human beings. That's crazy, but it's biblical, and it's true. You're saying something, Monica. I'm sorry. I know you're trying to say something. I'm sorry? Keep reading. Sure. Yeah. Well, we will. We will. What they're supposed to be doing while they are gathering to present themselves to the Lord. What do they do? Well, they devoted themselves to these four things. Number one, the apostles' teaching. It would be great if you had Peter or James or John, or even Bartholomew here to teach you, but you don't. But you do have the books that they wrote. And you have the man that you believe God led you to call as pastor to teach and preach this, which is the teaching of the apostles. So what is the first thing that's happening on Sunday mornings? The most important thing that happens when God's people gather on Sunday morning is what's happening right now. The pastor or pastors are teaching the people the Word of God, the teachings of the apostles. We all are in this process that Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So that's part of what we're doing right here. One of the main things, reasons why we gather is for the teaching and preaching of God's Word. It's central. So, if in fact our governor were to order us not to gather at all, could we still have the teaching of the Word of God from your pastor to you? Yes. There are all kinds of ways to use modern technology to do that. I'm suggesting, since I know a lot of you already are on Facebook, you just get on Facebook and go to the church's Facebook page, and we can be live streaming. Now, this is if in fact the governor says we can't meet. If the governor doesn't say that, then we're going to go ahead and meet. Fair enough? That's the way I'm seeing it. If he tells us not to meet, we will obey, because we know what submission is, we know what obedience is. But if he doesn't tell us that, then we're going to meet. But if he does tell us not to meet, then at the very least, I will show up on your Facebook through Facebook Live. If you don't have a computer, then this will be really difficult for you. But you should talk to me, and we'll find some other way to get the information or the teaching to you. Okay? I'm not sure what that would be, but the easiest way to do it all at the same time, so it's kind of almost like gathering, is to do it on Facebook. And if you want to get, you think, I don't have a Facebook account, yeah, you can sign up for free. That's easy. If you just advance that slide one more time, you can see a picture. Yeah, that's me, ugly me. Great T-shirt, bald guy. In fact, I think that video might even play. Why don't you hit that one more time?
Hey, brothers and sisters, this is me sitting in my chair at my desk in the pastor's study. And this is probably what a Sunday morning sermon on Facebook Live would look like.
Okay, so that's what you might see if the worst of all things happened. I don't know, worst of all things, but if in fact we were told not to meet, I would still be teaching the Word of God every Sunday, because I just believe that's the center of what God has told us to do. It is the beginning place of what the early Christians did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, they had all the apostles' teaching there, and then in most churches they have several pastors who are carrying on the apostles' teaching. Right here, right now, we have just me, but, you know, the Lord may change that in time. We'll see. For now, this is going to continue no matter what. If God gives me breath, this is going to continue. All right? They also devoted themselves to fellowship. That's what the Word of God says. But it's not just fellowship with each other. If you look in the original language, the Greek language does some things that English doesn't do. Okay? If you look in the original language, it would tell you that the fellowship belongs to the apostles just like the teaching belongs to the apostles. Okay? They're connected. So that it's not just the fellowship of we feel like we are being connected to each other. It is that, but it's way more than that. Okay? It's we feel like we are being connected to each other because each one of us is being connected to Jesus Christ through the teaching of His apostles. So the center and the core of what makes a church is the truth of the Word of God. That's what makes a church an ongoing thing. Even when we're not gathered on Sunday, we are held together by the truth of what God says. And then we share that together. And we are together under the authority of the Word of God and together learning from the apostles and sharing with each other as we follow Jesus that way. So to say they gave themselves or devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine and fellowship is not really two separate things. They're two connected things. All right? However, if we were to have to cancel services, that would limit our fellowship. Because there are other ways that we gather together and we share together with the teaching of the apostles, don't we? A lot of you guys are in Andy's Sunday School class. And in Andy's Sunday School class, what you guys are doing is you're getting together under the Word of God and you're learning from the apostles together, except in Andy's Sunday School class, not here in the main worship service, right? Or if you're in a Sunday School class where, say, one of these other Sunday School teachers is teaching. Maybe Rod? Rod, you still teaching your class from time to time, yes? Were you teaching this morning? Every once in a while. So in other settings, you are also under the teaching of the apostles, because what these two gentlemen are doing as they're leading a Sunday School class, they're helping you guys to put your nose in the Bible and understand it. And so you're together. And yet, there's a kind of togetherness that happens in a Sunday School class that does not happen here, right? So, I think if we have to do... If the governor were to say you cannot meet at all, that would curtail a little bit of the fellowship side of things. Possibly. And of course, there's more to fellowship than just that around the Bible. We fellowship around food, too. You know, we fellowship around just being together. We fellowship a good handshake or a good hug is a great thing, and yet we're being told don't shake hands and don't hug and don't breathe on each other. You know what? We can live with those restrictions. You know, we can and we will for the good of everybody. But I feel like something's really missing. You know what I'm saying? So I look forward to the time when they'll lift these restrictions. And I'm praying that they never will tell us that we can't meet. We'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes. So they get together, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the apostles' fellowship. And it says, to the breaking of bread. So here's the word that I use up here. I use the word ordinances. Ordinances. What are the ordinances? In the Baptist church, that's the word we use. For most Christians, use the word sacraments. What's a sacrament? A sacrament is a ritual that you go through because you believe Jesus has commanded you to go through it. And He wants you to use it to train yourself and to remind yourself of what's really important. Okay? We usually call them ordinances for all kinds of reasons, which we're not going to get into right now. Okay? We recognize two ordinances. That would be baptism and the Lord's Supper. If God is faithful to us the way we want Him to be faithful to us, then we'll be witnessing and participating in a baptism next week. We'll see. Because of the health situation that's going on, I probably wouldn't baptize more than one person in a day. You know? I only baptize one person. Make sense? Yeah. Because, you know, you get wet, whatever. But I'm still going to do it. Because Jesus ordained these things. They're ordinances. Okay? We right now are still planning on continuing to serve the Lord's Supper. Because people have talked about these things, and we've discussed them as deacons. Okay? For example, in churches that are full of people, and they take the offering, and they start the plate here, and they pass it down the aisle or down the pew to that end, then everybody on the pew touches it, right? Which means all the germs from every hand get passed along, you know? We don't take the offering that way, because there are so few of us. Although I'm not usually back here while they're taking the offering, I'm told that pretty much they're holding it, and you're putting your money in, and that's that. And nobody touches it except the usher. We like that, and so we're able to keep on doing that, because we think that actually worshiping the Lord by giving of our funds actually is a form of worship that the Bible talks about in the New Testament on more than one place. So, yeah, that's the way we worship, and we're going to keep doing it that way, the way we have been doing it anyway. Although, if we had a full house, we would probably have to change the way we do things. We don't have to right now, okay? The way we take the Lord's Supper, or give the Lord's Supper out, okay? Usually, the person who's giving it out will come to you and give it to you, and you're not touching anything. Okay, the person who gives it to you has just sanitized his hands, and you guys watch us. We're already doing this. We've been doing this for a while. You know, you watch us before we serve to actually put sanitizer on our hands, because we know that we're going to be touching stuff that you're going to be putting in your mouth. You know, so are you happy that we're sanitizing our hands? I hope you are, because that's what we're doing. And so we'll probably continue doing that. Okay. Although we might add gloves just to let people know that we're being safe, okay? But what we won't do is we won't back off of the ordinances, because they're essential, and we'll do as much as we... See, each of these things that the early church did, we do. And we try to do it faithfully. And through the emergency time that's going on, we will do as much as we can do while at the same time remaining safe. So there's one fourth word that describes what they devoted themselves to. It says, the prayers. And I love that word, the. Do you know what that word, the, means? See, if it just said prayers, it might mean that individual people were praying certain prayers. If it says the prayers, though, it means, no, there are specific forms of communication to God that they routinely did. Do you know how the early church usually prayed their prayers to God? They chanted them together, and everything was sung. And in some churches today, all the people in the churches will sing things together like this as well. I know that's a horrible way of trying to sing, but that's the way they did it. So that our idea of congregational singing is significantly different from the way they probably were doing it. I'm not saying the way we do it is bad. I love the way we do it. You can see that I love. You can hear that I love the way we do it. But the truth is that our songs are prayers. And their prayers were songs. Okay? I'm not making this up. I'm saying that our song service and our prayer service in New Testament terms are the same thing. Did you hear me? Does that make any sense? In New Testament terms, our singing and our praying are the same thing. In other words, everything you see us do in here on Sunday morning is stuff that has scriptural warrant for doing it. If you wonder why I am not real big excited about doing lots of skits and stuff, and never have been, it's because it just doesn't seem like too scriptural to me. I'm not saying I'm against those things, I have a hard time getting excited about them. You know? I'm excited about what God says. And in my mind, and I believe in your mind, because most of you guys are Baptist Christians, you think, you see a one-to-one correspondence between what the Bible says and what God says, you think it's the same thing. So do I. It's the same thing. So what I'm excited to do as part of the worship service on Sunday morning are the things that God says that these Christians did. It's what we should be doing too. And as a matter of fact, when that pastor said, everything the NBA does is nowhere near as important as what we do on Sunday morning, that pastor was right. Everything the NBA, NFL, NHL, and every other sports league at every level all put together is not as important as what is happening right here, right now. Did you hear me? I understand that nobody else in the whole wide United States might agree with that. In fact, they would think I'm crazy for saying that, and they would probably call you crazy if you agree with it. But you know what? I invite you to be crazy with me and believe that doing what the Lord has asked us to do is more important than all of the world put together. This would be a great place for an amen. Thank you. Oh, you don't have to say it unless you believe it. But really, what we're doing right now, worshiping the Lord, singing to the Lord, hearing His Word, giving, is more important. It's more important than anything that happens in Washington, D.C. This is the people of God presenting themselves to God. This is cosmically and eternally important. This is precious beyond words. And that's why we're going to keep doing as much of it as we are allowed to do in as many ways as we can. For as long as we can. Now, for many of you, everything I just said was like, yeah, I knew that, I knew that, I knew that, I knew that, I knew that. It's all old hat, and all this was just a refresher course, and praise God. If it was that for you, then it was good to hear it again, I hope. Okay? But for some of you, maybe what I just said was kind of new and challenging. And if you have questions about it or objections to it, I would love to talk to you about that. You know, I'm not going to stay around and talk to you right now because I'm going to be driving to New York. But, you know, call me, text me, email me. I would love to have the conversations with you because I believe everything I just said with all of my heart. And I want you to believe it too. I do. I'm so glad you're here today. We're going to go downstairs. We're going to eat. Before we do anything, we're going to do this. Let me ask you this. Okay. The certified medical technician right here just explained to me that there's a right way to do this. You might have to explain that to them because but in my hand, here on the front, in between, in the backs, a lot of it so that your whole hands are, that's right, in between your fingers, thumbs, get your thumb, and it should be wet and drying, okay, before we go downstairs. No, we're not going to pass it around. I'm going to give it to each person. You good? Now, let me ask you this. Do you believe in the reality of viruses and germs?
Yeah.
Do you? You can't see them, though. You believe in invisible stuff?
Yeah.
Me, too. I believe in, like the Spirit of God, you know. I believe in all kinds of invisible stuff. I think it's real, even though I can't see it. So, before we go down and eat anything, we're just going to clean ourselves up a little bit. Okay? And soap and water is even, you already got yourself with the real stuff. I'm coming, yeah. So, but I tell you what, listen, when you're talking to people who don't know Jesus, and they ask you, how can you believe in this invisible God, this flying spaghetti monster person living in the sky that you can't even see him? And you say, do you believe in germs? I do. I think they're real. Oops, I just missed your hand almost. Okay. You guys get some? Uh-oh, I'm about to run out here. That's bad because they have no more of this stuff in the stores. All right, keep this. There we go. I'm sorry that I cannot reach you, but if I tip this over, it won't squirt. Hey, Nancy. Whoops. Here we go. One more person. Okay, number one, what are we going to do as a church? Trust God, first, last, and most. Right? Number two, we're going to pay attention to each other and to the facts of our situation. And then all the rest of that, do what you need to about. Get back to the Word of God. Why are we here? We are devoting ourselves. We have devoted ourselves. We've renewed our devotion to the Lord. Except maybe there's somebody who, in all that we've said and done, you think to yourself, I kind of feel like I need more. I really need to publicly rededicate myself to the Lord. And if that's what you need, then we want to give you the opportunity to do that. We're going to sing one more song. I want to invite you to stand, if you would, please. And what's this last song that we have prepared? I love this song. His mercy is more. His mercy is more.